Prime Minister's ruling coalition is trailing behind the opposition amid a low turnout. Turkey says it will not support sanctions against Iran and calls for diplomacy over the nuclear dispute. And Russian leaders promise a tough response after bomb blasts killed dozens of people in Moscow's metro.
It is 2200 GMT and 2:30 a.m. here in the Iranian capital, Tehran. This is Press TV's World News.
Many thanks for joining us. And partial results from Italy's regional elections show Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi's ruling center-right coalition trailing behind the center-left opposition. The opposition is projected to win in seven regions, while Berlusconi's party has taken only five. The Lazio region, which includes Rome, is still too close to call. The two-day elections saw a sharp drop in voter turnout. The polls were seen as a litmus test for the embattled Berlusconi.
About 41 million people were eligible to vote for governors in 13 of 20 regions across the country. However, Italy's Interior Ministry says turnout was down to 65%. Pollsters say the low turnout has been because of people's dissatisfaction with the politicians' failure to address the biggest concern, joblessness. People say they are not surprised at all by the low turnout.
No, I'm not surprised. It's clear that people are fed up with all these political games.
I think it's normal. We are all a bit disgusted, but it's clear that they talk little about content and a lot about political infighting.
The result of the vote is said to be viewed as a wake-up call for Berlusconi and his ruling coalition. The Prime Minister's popularity has dramatically slipped following sex scandals and his coalition's bureaucratic bungling in the past few months. Protest rallies across the country are proof of public discontent with his government. At the end of 2009, a man hit Berlusconi in the face with a small statue in Milan. The attack left a media tycoon with a bloodied mouth and broken teeth. 73-year-old Berlusconi is also well known for his diplomatic gaffes. The latest took place during the Arab League summit in Libya on Saturday. This time, he kissed the hand of the Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi. Italy ruled Libya for nearly four decades since 1911. A new era of improved relations finally dawned when Rome apologized to Tripoli and asked it to forget the past. Berlusconi has promised that his two-year-old government will not see any major changes, whatever the outcome of the vote.
Elsewhere, the Turkish Premier Recep Tayyip Erdogan has once again stood up to new sanctions against Iran over its nuclear energy program. Erdogan says diplomacy is the best route to resolve the issue. He made the remarks at a joint conference with visiting German Chancellor Angela Merkel. Erdogan earlier reiterated that any other route would threaten world peace.
Bearing gifts, the German Chancellor visited the Turkish capital on Monday for wide-ranging talks with the Turkish Prime Minister. This was not an easy meeting of minds by any means. A major source of contention is that of Turkey's desired full EU membership. Merkel promotes a privileged partnership. However, she said that this had been misunderstood, and instead she chose her wording carefully.
The Ankara Protocol must be implemented for full membership. This process must be completed.
Observers say the protocol, which pertains to the divided island of Cyprus, could become a sticking point.
Europe wants Turkey to open its ports to Greece, but Turks who voted yes to reunification under the Annan Plan want the economic isolation of the Turkish north to end, a promise Europe has not fulfilled.
During a joint press conference with Mr. Erdogan, the two displayed a difference of opinion over European integration policies for Turkish citizens living in Germany. Germany has the largest Turkish immigrant community in Europe, and Turkey wants them to be educated in their own language.
Our Turkish citizens must protect their own culture, but they should also know German.
Both sides agreed to disagree on Iran's nuclear file. The German chancellor wants Turkey, which currently holds a non-permanent seat on the UN Security Council, to back tougher sanctions against Iran. Mr. Erdogan has made it clear that he will not do so. He argues that confronting Iran is counterproductive and hypocritical, given Israel's presumed possession of nuclear weapons.
Overall, we believe that this is the wrong way to go. We should continue dialogue. We should continue to talk. This is the only way out. Diplomacy, we believe, is the way to move, to make progress. Sanctions will just make life difficult for everybody.
Germany is Turkey's number one European trading partner, lending considerable importance to the relationship. Trade between the two is worth up to 30 billion euros per year, something that will smooth over the differences, at least in the short term. Jody Sobral, Press TV, Istanbul.
Well, Russian leaders have vowed to wipe out those behind fatal bomb attacks on Moscow's metro.
I'm sure our law enforcement agencies will do their best to find and punish the criminals. The terrorists will be destroyed.
President Dmitry Medvedev also said his country will fight to the end against terrorism. Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov, in the meantime, has blamed terrorists operating on the Afghan-Pakistan border for the attacks. Twin explosions in packed Moscow metro trains killed at least 38 people and injured dozens more. Officials said the attacks were carried out by women wearing belts packed with explosives.
The blasts rocked Moscow in the morning rush hour when the metro was packed with passengers. 24 people died in the first explosion at 3:56 GMT in a train at a central Lubyanka station. 40 minutes later, a second blast ripped through a train at Park Kulture, killing another 13 people. Both stations are located at a walking distance from the Kremlin.
Both blasts occurred inside train cars. At Lubyanka, the explosion happened when the doors were closing, while at Park Kulture, when the doors were opening.
As emergency vehicles sped to the scenes, traffic in the city center came to a standstill. Parts of the metro system were closed down. 700 Interior Ministry troops were deployed on the streets. Prosecutors say it was a well-planned terrorist attack carried out by two female suicide bombers.
It's the local people are shocked and frightened. Many say they thought terrorism in Moscow was a thing of the past, but it's not so.
In 2004, a terrorist blast in the Moscow metro killed 40 people. A bomb hit a Moscow St. Petersburg Express train last autumn, killing dozens. Locals say they simply do not feel secure.
It's horrific. It's a horrible tragedy. We are so frightened. Things are so unpredictable in our lives.
President Medvedev convened an emergency meeting. He ordered officials to tighten security on the public transport system across the country and vowed to fight against terrorists.
The suppression of terrorism will continue. We will carry out uncompromising operation against terrorists to the end.
Federal Security Service Chief Alexander Bortnikov says investigators believe the attacks had been carried out by terrorist groups related to the North Caucasus. Russia has been fighting militants in the region for more than a decade, including in two wars in Chechnya.
The situation is simply deteriorating in the North Caucasus. It's been obvious for quite some time that the thing that security there is unraveling. And although Chechnya, which was the epicenter of all that, is pacified and under a very strong control of a local boss, Ramzan Kadyrov, the insurgency, or whatever you want to call this is metastasizing around the region.
Prosecutors have launched an investigation into suspected acts of terrorism. Svetlana Korkina, Press TV, Moscow.
Well, after 9 months of negotiations, the United States and India have concluded a nuclear fuel reprocessing agreement. Here's more on that.
The U.S. Department of State says the agreement is a key element of a nuclear energy pact. It will enable Indian reprocessing of U.S.-supplied nuclear material under the safeguard of the International Atomic Energy Agency. The framework for this agreement was a 2005 joint statement by Indian Prime Minister Manmohan Singh and then U.S. President George W. Bush. Under the agreement, nuclear-armed India agreed to separate its civil and military nuclear facilities and place all its civilian nuclear facilities under International Atomic Energy Agency safeguards. In exchange, the United States agreed to work toward full nuclear cooperation. The so-called Indo-US nuclear agreement has met with stiff opposition by political parties at home and from abroad. Critics argue the agreement will set a new precedent for other nuclear-armed countries. They say it undermines the credibility, integrity, and universality of the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. The deal is also seen as crucial in the context of India-Pakistan relations.
The Obama administration has also offered a similar deal to Pakistan. So from the point of view of India, it is a very bad thing because it means that there will be parity between India and Pakistan in their relations with America. While Americans would like to have an upper edge, but it seems that now with the new policy, American policy in Afghanistan, Islamabad has once again become the most preferred partner for America in South Asia. So this is not going down very well with India.
Well, you're watching World News here on Press TV. Time for a quick reminder of the headlines this hour. Silvio Berlusconi's ruling coalition is trailing behind the opposition amid a low turnout. Turkey says it will not support sanctions against Iran and calls for diplomacy over the nuclear dispute. And Russian leaders promise a tough response after bomb blasts killed dozens of people in Moscow's metro.